So what a great first half of the meeting. Who agreed it was an amazing time of worship? And I just hope that the word I've got to bring today will follow on from that. So I'm just going to read the scripture that at this time has really spoken into my heart. It's from a different translation that I've come across, which is always really helpful. I am a good old traditional English standard version girl at heart. I love that, but I also equally love it when you see a scripture in a slightly different way, in a slightly different version. So this is the Passion Translation, and I don't know whether it is a new one, but it's out there. You can't get the whole Bible in one go, although there's a New Testament being released in October, but there's individual books like the Psalms or whatever. So this is Psalm 27 and verses 4 and 8, and I think this really set the scene for where we were heading as a church into our time of being still, and just really, I think, just captures something of the heart of God for us at the moment. So it says, "Here's the one thing I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. Lord, when you said to me, 'Seek my face,' my inner being responded, 'I'm seeking your face with all of my heart.'" And I just think, you know, that's the cry of my heart at the moment, is that I just want to grab hold of him just that bit more. I want to seek his presence more earnestly. And I just think for us at the moment as a church, we know that we are being called to lean into him that bit more, to take some time, to dream big, to dig deep. I'm sensing that we need to be more purposeful and decisive in our pursuit of the presence of God. And it just feels like at the moment, however small, we're being encouraged to do this on all levels. We're being encouraged all the time to be still and know that he is God. I was really encouraged when Alison sent out that picture via email. It was a picture of a mug. And you could just go, well, that's a picture of a mug. But that message of being still was there for us to continue to be encouraged that we need to do that. And we can't avoid it. And we need to continue learning together and also just be encouraged that we're heading in the right direction. And I think we can be really encouraged this week from Rich's email that he sent out at the beginning of the week, of the encounters that he's having all over the place where, you know, this is happening in other churches at the moment. And so as we sort of come to the end of, I suppose, what you can call the formal part of the initiative, it's worth reminding us of the things that may hinder us from accessing the presence of God as we move forward and continue to grow. And as already has been mentioned this morning, the work doesn't stop with the end of our initiative. It is just the beginning of what God's got for us going forward. So my inspiration this morning came from a blog that I read quite regularly. It's a bit of a random one. And I mentioned it in home group a few weeks back when we were just starting to talk about these things. And there's a lady in San Diego called Erin, and she authors this beautiful blog, actually, and it's a home decor, organisation, lifestyle, fashion thing. She loves Jesus. She's pretty cool. She's got the most amazing house. So just if you're into that sort of thing, her blog is called Sunny Side Up. And she wrote this post a few weeks back saying 5 reasons you can't stay organised and how to fix it. So right away, I was just thinking, oh, that's really interesting. So the title of this morning's preach is 5 Reasons You Can't Access the Presence of God and How to Fix It. And if none of these points resonate with you in terms of accessing the presence of God, then you're going to have some good tips for how to organise your homes, which is equally as important. So the points are based around the 5 points that she raised about how to organise your home in a better way and what you might find difficult and what stops you from doing this. So we'll walk through. We'll go through at quite a pace. The first 2 points are probably the most detailed. So there's 5 points, not 3 today. So that's good. And then we'll just see where we go with it. So here we go. So point 1, in terms of organising our homes, we don't prioritise it. And I think it's the same for us when we're seeking to access the presence of God. We perhaps don't prioritise it as much as we should. And just that sense that if we don't prioritise it, it won't happen because we have such busy lives. Our lives are full. You know, and accessing the presence of God, as we know over the last few weeks, has required time and effort. Just like organising the home, it requires time and effort. It doesn't just happen by magic. And I read out that quote in home group, didn't I, that said, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. So it's really, really important that you really catch hold of the fact that you're going to have to prioritise this. And I think for the first instance, if you're finding it difficult that to learn that discipline, it is really important to schedule time. I'm a great planner. I like planning all aspects of life. I live most of my life by lists and spreadsheets and planning and time blocking and all of these good things. But for this, to get you started, just start off with 20 minutes and do it at a time that works for you. I think sometimes we think, oh, I must do that like at 5 o'clock in the morning or some other hideous hour. That would be for me. But for some people, 5 o'clock in the morning would work. So you've got to work out, when is that time that I can get undisturbed time on my own in the presence of God? So for me, I think it would be after everything's done in the evening, the evening meal's done, I might have had a bath, I would do it after then. For others, for people with young children or teenagers, anyone, it might be different. You might need to work out when that time is best. And you should set a reminder and commit to do it. You know, it's good to do these things. But here's the thing, you know, if we prioritise this time with God, he will dwell with us. When we dwell with him, he dwells with us. And these are three things that I just think are amazing that will come out of spending that time with him. So when we take time out to be with him, we will encounter the Spirit of the Lord. And in that encounter, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 18 in the Message says, whenever, though, they turn their face to God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognise that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiselled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognised as obsolete. We are free of it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. In other more traditional versions, it talks about us understanding the mysteries of his will. And we can only do that if we spend time, prioritise, take time out. So that's that first thing that is a benefit of prioritising. When we take time to be with him, he makes, again, this is it, again, makes known the mystery of his will. He lets us into what is on his heart. Ephesians 1, verse 8 to 12 in the Message says, he thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. Isn't that great? So we've experienced some of that over the last couple of weeks as we've taken time. He has let us in on his plans. We have moved from that sense of this is what I want to this is what God wants. I'm hearing him directly and what is on his heart. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. And then lastly, when we take that time to prioritise, we will find strength to cope with what lies ahead. It's in this place of his presence that he'll prepare us and equip us to tread new paths. And I think we've seen a bit of that over the last couple of weeks. You know, we're being prepared for the new journey ahead. And Psalm 16 and verse 11 in the ESV this time says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Psalm 105 verse 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. So there's real benefits in doing this. It's not just a some hard-edged thing. You know, there will be things that will happen if you prioritise. So number two in Erin's blog, we like to organise clutter, which in her blog, this is what she said. She says, stop wasting your time organising clutter so that you can spend that time organising the things you truly need and use every day. And I think that's really true for us. And in recent times, as you know, we've did a massive loft clear out. And the freedom that that's brought in just knowing that that's all sorted and all tidy. And we've created space around us now because the stuff that needed to go up in the loft could go up there. We've cleared out all the rubbish. It is quite liberating, you know, if any of you have had a proper declutter, it is just really just freeing. And we need to live our lives like that. We need to not be organising clutter. We need to live more simply. We need to be continually checking in and checking that we're not carrying around the extra load. We need to create more space and create more time to do the things that matter. And entering the presence of God is getting up there on that list. It probably should be top, you know, but it's moving up the list. And I was just so encouraged when Dave opened the meeting with that Hebrews 12 verse, because this is what this kind of speaks of. It talks about stripping off every weight that slows us down. So a couple of questions. Do you know the things that are slowing you down or holding you up? I think sometimes those things are not necessarily bad things in our lives. They could be things that are actually good for us and all the rest of it, but it's about getting the balance right. Are we spending too much time over here that is then stopping us accessing the presence of God here because, I don't know, we're spending too much time with work. Work can be quite hindering sometimes. Have we got the balance right in our work? Things like going to the gym can become a bit of an idol in our lives because that becomes the focus and we don't then have enough time to do other things that might be more important. Although I have to say, from over the last couple of weeks, actually when I've been at the gym, I have really found God. So I'm not saying stop going to the gym, but just it's about harmony and balance and all the things will work together when it's all lovely and straightforward. Do you know what burdens you are carrying? What is worrying you? What is weighing you down? What are you wasting the valuable commodity of time on that is preventing you accessing the presence of God? I think sometimes we waste our time getting involved in things that we think we can solve a problem when actually, if we just left it alone, it would get sorted. We get involved in stuff we don't need to. I think sometimes we get involved in things that are not even our things to get involved in. And again, that can hinder us in terms of time. I was interested in the UCB notes, I think it was during this week, it might have been the week before, it talked about how Bartimaeus, when Jesus was in town, he took off his coat so that it wouldn't trip him up as he tried to access Jesus. And he ran towards him, not tripping over his coat, which I imagine was quite a long coat, and his faith paid off. Immediately he was healed and received his sight, and he followed Jesus. So there may be things, coats you're wearing, rubbish you're carrying around, stuff you're involved in that you probably shouldn't be involved in, that you need to get rid of, that will liberate you and bring you to where you need to get to be able to access his presence. And this is really funny. I wrote this down and then realised I've got a huge pile of holiday clothes. So it's time to travel light and only take with you what you need for the journey. And I'm going to need to try and be really good this time when we go on holiday because I'm only allowed to take 15 kilos. So it's, only take with you what you need. Don't be carrying around the extra stuff. That will just give you more time, more space to be able to enjoy being in his presence. So number three, and this is in the context of the blog and organising your home, we gather too many tips and ideas on how to organise ourselves. So the same could be said with accessing the presence of God. We spend time gathering tips from our favourite preachers and teachers and all of this stuff about how to access the presence of God, which is not a bad thing. to get inspiration and encouragement from others that find this stuff, you know, easy or have got a different way of doing it. But it's no good just getting the idea. You need to get on and do it. And I think sometimes we can be distracted by these things and then we don't do it at all. I would suggest that if you're going to schedule time to be with God, you know, spend time with God. Don't spend time researching how to do it, because the 20 minutes will be gone and it'll be lost. And I think sometimes it can be quite overwhelming that there's so much stuff out there telling you how to access the presence of God. People are, you know, have got this swinging from the chandeliers, creative ideas of how to do this thing. And you might not feel very confident in some of those things and not, you know, then you'll get a bit confused and not know where to start. But actually, the best thing to do is find out for yourself, is to find out what works for you and what doesn't work well, what does work well. It's time to gather your own tips and ideas for how to do it by doing it in practice and ask him how to show you. Yes, it is great, and I'm not saying that. I gain inspiration on a daily basis from a wide range of Christian inputs. But ask him to show you. Psalm 25 and verse 4 in the Message says, "Show me how you work, God. School me in your ways." Don't school me in somebody else's ways. You show me how to do this. And once you've found out what works, you can then probably go and share it with somebody else as an encouragement. Not that they'll take that on board, you know. I think the last 3 weeks have been about that sort of experimentation and seeing what works, what doesn't work for me. Does quiet work for me? Maybe not. Does music? Does walking? All of these different things. So number 4. We don't recognise and fix systems that aren't working. I know this from a particular cupboard I've got at home where stuff is just chucked in it. It's my baking cupboard, so it's always my stuff. But I was looking for something in there the other day and it was just, it needs to, I was thinking, that right, that needs to be better organised. But that cupboard's been like that for, well, as long as I can remember. And you kind of just end up living with that and go, well, that's all right. But actually, we need to recognise when things are broken and fix them. You know, there will be things that work and don't work for you. But don't keep flogging the dead horse. I think after that first week when we came together and some people found the just sitting silent thing quite difficult because you don't normally do that. Well, don't do that. That might not be for now. You might need to do that a bit later. But don't keep flogging a dead horse, otherwise what will happen is you'll get frustrated, you'll give up, and you'll just feel like you're not getting the results you're looking for. Try something new. As we said, 1 week going out for a walk might work. 1 week sitting in silence might work. 1 week you might be reading a book. There's just so many different ways of doing that. It's about not being rigid or fixed, but being having the sense that you can try something new and it is okay. There's not a set way of doing it. And that's quite exciting, really, I think, because we're all so unique in the way we are knitted together and how we approach accessing the presence of God, that it's just, that's the exciting thing, is that there'll be a richness and a depth because we are all unique and God speaks to us how he speaks to us. It won't all be the same. And it will change depending on where we are. So when we're away this time next week in the sunshine with the beach and the sea and all the rest of it, right? That's different to when you're in the everyday life and you're going through what you know, your daily routines. But you just need to recognise that. So what will work this week for me at home in a very kind of structured routine might be completely different next week when I've got proper space, proper time around me to just rest, to be, and to see what happens. And I don't know how many times when you are a child, or whether you've probably done it to your children if you're parents, is that you encourage them to just try it. Go on, you can do it. And that might be riding a bike without stabilisers, throwing them in at the deep end of the pool. Go on, just try it. You can do it. I think there is that sense that God is saying, just try it, just do it. And we need to relax in that and not be afraid to do things differently. You know, what's the worst that can happen? What is the worst that can happen? Maybe you won't get the best out of that 20 minutes or whatever, but nobody gets hurt. It's all part of the learning. And as I said, you need to be prepared to change things. to do new things in new ways. And that's when you'll become more confident and become more mature in this discipline. And you'll know when you've found a good way of doing it, because the time in his presence will be profitable and refreshing rather than frustrating and not fruitful. So those three things that I talked about in point one, about finding his spirit, understanding the mystery of his will, getting strength and ideas for what's going to happen to us, those are the things that will come out of that time when you find and it clicks in and you find the right way of doing it. And number five, and this is on Erin's blog as well, we let, and I think we're all really guilty of this, is we let perfection get in the way of how we do things. I think we just overcomplicate stuff. We overthink it. We have this vision of what it should be like to come into the presence of God and what it looks like. And until we can get to that, somehow those dizzy heights of perfection, we won't bother doing anything. We may feel intimidated by those who appear to have got it all sussed and don't bother putting the time and effort in to find out what works. But I don't think we can wait for our personal circumstances to be perfect, because there is always going to be something going on in your life that will need your attention, either positively or negatively. Life happens. You can't wait for this magical time where, I don't know, the world is just harmonious, because stuff goes on. And I read something else this week, again, which was a huge encouragement. It is okay to settle for good enough as long as you've got a heart attitude that you can always do better. So for some of us at the moment, this is the very early stages of this new journey. And that's fine, as long as you know that there's more, you can be better and you can get there. We're being encouraged still to take small steps. We shouldn't be striving for perfection, because it is all about small steps. And we should all be able to identify where we can do better. And for some of us, that'll be around prioritisation. Some of us, that'll be around actually just getting the method right. There might be other things where you know that you can change things just to make it that better. But actually, as I thought about all of this and how we overcomplicate stuff in life, it's actually quite simple. We just need to get ourselves into the place where we can say, here I am, God. Do what you will with me. Here I am, with my heart surrendered, my mind surrendered. And it's in that place that we hear from God. We just stay still in his presence. Here I am, do what you need to do. So those are the five things that I thought really linked in well to how we need to prioritise accessing the presence of God, equally useful for organising your home. And I think if you've found the last few weeks a challenge, don't be too anxious about that, because we're focusing on small steps. It's not about, oh my goodness, what's the next big lap I can take? Again, in, I think that was in the UCB notes, it said, don't be anxious about the next lap. Just focus on the next step. What can I do this afternoon, tomorrow? It's not about 6 months' time. Good enough is okay for now, but always aim for better. Try and practice the here I am lifestyle with a surrendered heart and mind. And I would try and grab every opportunity that presents itself to you. Try and just to be more acutely aware, actually, that this is a time where I can sit and I can be with God. I've loved as well the encouragement that Psalm 62 and verses 1, I think 1 and 2 has brought. You know, it says, from God alone my soul waits in silence. Even that's outside of your, like, you know, I'm encouraging you to schedule 20 minutes. Yeah, do that. But don't be beholden to the 20 minutes. Be patient in that time when you're waiting on him. Don't rush away. We sing that song, don't we? Is it to be in your presence, not rushing away? In that psalm, I think it is in the message, it says, wait as long as he says. So we might go, yeah, I've got my 20 minutes. But he might say, wait a bit longer. I need you to wait a bit longer. Wait as long as he says. And again, I think as I encourage you in home group, is about, this is about letting him have the last word. Too often we've got too many words to say, too many requests to make, and it's time for him to have the last word in all things in our lives. So travel light, live simply. Where you need to declutter your world, do it, and do it now. Don't hold back. Start to really identify where you can declutter your world. I love it that we're on this journey together, and we're going to learn together, and we'll continue to do that. And there may be time in the future that we come together and we decide, right, we'll do an initiative, because actually that's really helpful when everybody gets behind it. But we're all in this together. So seek wise counsel if you're struggling in this area, you know, and we'll get there together. And I think even if we don't choose to be with him, we can be reassured that he is with us. He promises his presence, whether we take time to be present with him or not, because he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And John 14, verse 16 to 17 from the ESV says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." As I said on Wednesday night, I think it's a time at this time where we've got to make room in our lives on so many levels, because, you know, God's got amazing things for us as a church, and that's going to require some adjustments in our time, in our schedules, the way we use our homes. We need to be more open-hearted. And ultimately, we've got to make room for him. And it may be messy, untidy, and inconvenient, but it is in this place that we are going to find freedom. We'll get to know his will, we'll find strength for the new journeys ahead, and also we can take what is his so we can make sure we have enough to be able to offer it to someone else. Again, I loved it on Wednesday night when Helen referred us back to what Carl Martin spoke to us at New Wine 2 years back. This is for that. That time spent in the presence of God is for that, whatever the that might be. That could be getting alongside somebody. That could be releasing an area. But we need to make sure we've got enough so that we can go on the new journey ahead. Amen.